wonderful to be able to celebrate with you again. Just while the students are going and seeing all the kids, it wasn't too long ago that my own girls were traipsing out of here and going to their class. And I had a chance, like I said, to go to Elam Bible Institute in college. And Alexa and I got to go to this event together, and I can't tell you the last time that she and I got to go to one of those conferences together, and it was a blessing to spend that time with her. But while we were there, I had a chance to see my daughter, Eve, and she is doing really well. She is moving in what God has called her to do. She's being a blessing to the school. She's being a blessing in the church, and I just got to sit there and be a proud papa. I just loved this because what happened was, is she told me, she said, "Dad, are you coming to the conference?" I said, "Absolutely. I go to every conference at Elam that I can." And so I said, "Yep, I'm on my way. I've already got my reservation in. I'm coming." And I said, "There's about a 60% chance that Mom is coming." She's like, "Great. I'm going to be able to lead worship for one of the sessions." I was like, "Awesome. I can't wait to see that." And I get there, and Wednesday night was a night of worship. There wasn't any teaching or anything like that. It was just a night of worship. And that was what she was doing. She wasn't like leading one song or leading. She led worship for 2 hours at Elam Gospel Church. And there was like 200 of us or so there, which looked about like 75 because they have a sanctuary that holds 1,500. But 200 people were there, and there she was worshiping. Full disclosure, I was having a little bit of a hard time not being proud. I was getting a little distracted from worship. I'm there like this. I have one. They have her up on the big screen on the wall. I'm like this here. There's my girl doing her thing. Come on, you guys know. You guys know. Like, who are the other kids on your kids' soccer team, football team? You don't know. I'm just kidding. You do. You're a better parent than I am. But so there I was, and just seeing that, and it's a blessing to be able to share that with you because, you know, Eve grew up in this church, and this is something that I'm leading into here on our final message on relationship, is that I can't tell you how many times I've been in pastors' conferences, or I was in youth leader conferences when I was a youth pastor, one of the things that they would always do, and I mean very, very consistently, and so I mean always, is there was an opportunity for you to break away into a session, and for pastors, youth pastors, elders, anybody involved in church leadership, we're going to have this special session for you that you're going to be able to break away from here so that we can make sure that you have all the tools that you need so that the pastor's kids are saved. And I've heard so many things like that because often, and we even have titles for it, they're called PKs, preacher's kids, you know? Yeah, perfect kids. Nice. You hear that, Sophia? Perfect kid. That's from Nancy Larkin. So they serve in so many different ways. My daughter right now is on the computer, which she's not, you know, she's on a team. But there was a time when our church was about this big where I would be getting ready on Sunday morning, and I would say to Eve, because she was older at the time than Sophia, I would say to Eve, "I don't have anybody to do this particular task. Can you help me out this morning?" And so Eve, you guys know her, she was like, "Okay." And she would do it. And she would serve the church. She would come there. You could ask Sophia, from the time that they were in diapers until even now, Sophia has had these experiences where they have spent more time in this building sometimes than we have in our own house. Okay? And so preachers' kids can get burned out on so many things that they can all of a sudden be turned off to the power and the authority of God. And so what I'm saying to you is that in your particular circumstance, what are the things that you are carving out that are specific for your kids that makes it so that they have value and purpose in your own life? Because you have busy lives. But I'm just telling you from my aspect, what happens in a lot in a pastor's life is the children actually turn away from the Lord. The children actually begin to say, well, what is this all about? Because all I know is that my parents are constantly doing this, that, and the other thing, and I haven't seen them. I don't spend time with them. And if that's the way it is, then I don't want to be a part of that. And that's what begins to happen to children in the ministry. But that's the same thing that can happen in your own lives, is that if you don't carve out the time that is necessary to be a parent, then there's going to be times in your life when you're going to have just buckets and buckets of regret and say, I wish I had this, or I wish I could do that thing over again. And not saying that I haven't. I mean, I've had those times. Sophia, when was the last time we went camping? Right? She's not going to answer because you'll be able to hear her if she answers. Good kid back there. But when the girls were little, we used to go up to the Adirondack shelters in Oil Creek Park. Oh, that's so much fun. We used to do that. And for a while, they would say, we always did that. That's what we always did. And then there was a summer where we tried really hard and we didn't get to it. Then, of course, last summer was, so we didn't do it last summer. And then this summer is already gone. So now we've done it, we've missed it 3 years in a row. And it's like, here's the question we get. Are we ever going to go camping again? Right? And so we know that there are things that happen in our lives that can detract us from the schedule. I would ask you this morning, as we go into this final message on relationship, it's going to be pointed towards two categories. One, you're single. Two, you're married. Anybody that's not in one of those two categories, good, all right, awesome. We're in one of those two categories this morning. And like I start off every single message in this series, is I want you to know that this is not a message of condemnation. This is an opportunity for all of us to be able to evaluate the situation that we're in and to say, is there a course correction that I can make? Is there a place in this that I can say, I need to be able to function a little bit differently? Or, hey, you know what? I'm doing some things right. But Father, I want to be closer to you. I've had some experiences like that even as a pastor. When I go to these conferences, I was sharing with the elders this morning that it just seems like so many places have been suffering in a hard way through what's going on. And it's not that we have been completely removed from that, but the things that are going on in the world right now haven't affected this congregation the way that I know that some have been. I know that some congregations have lost their senior pastor. Their senior pastor died from COVID. My friend, many of you know, Steve Henry, just passed away a few months ago. And so there's an entire congregation that lost their senior pastor to this thing. And it isn't so much the ability to look at that circumstance and say, you know, we're blessed or whatever. What I was sharing with them this morning is I said, what I really want to know, God, you have done something special at Grace Fellowship Church during this season. Why? Isn't that an important question to ask sometimes? God, you've done this thing in my life. Instead of just sitting back and receiving the blessing of it, sometimes when we're receiving that blessing, it's not a bad thing to turn around and then say, God, why? Why have you seen fit to do this particular thing and to function this way in my life? Why did I get that raise? Why did my marriage survive? Why are my kids just loving you and following after you? Why is my job and all these things, why are things going so well for me at this moment? And if that's for you, and sometimes what can happen is we can kind of forget that there are people that aren't having that same experience. And what I was sharing with them this morning is sometimes we can say, man, the Lord has blessed me so much. But then if that's true, then what is that to the person or the family or the congregation that hasn't had the same experience as you? Are we then saying that they have not been protected? They have not been blessed? So instead of coming to that conclusion, what I want to do is I want to say this morning in our relationships, God, why? Why am I in the circumstance that I'm in? And how can I grow in you and be a light in the darkness? Church, this morning, our families need to be a light in the darkness. Relationship mirrors exactly what the relationship between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. Three is an amazing number in Scripture. Three, if you have any understanding of it, actually each number up to eight, and there, it goes on beyond that, but that eight has, each one has very specific identifiers to them. And you can see those numbers as they're used even in Jesus' life. There's five loaves and two fish. That's seven. Isn't that cool? And five is a number of importance. Three is a number of importance. Six is, we all know what the number six is. Isn't that funny how we all know that one? Why can't we know some of the better ones? We all know what six is. But three is something that is really important because three is exactly where we're supposed to be when we have relationship or friendship with anyone else on the planet. Three means this, is that I have a good friendship with my friend Bob Vargo. Many of you have had the wonderful pleasure of getting to meet this guy. He is next to my wife, he is the closest friend I have on the planet. And I would even say next to my brother. My brother and I are really tight. But Bob has been this guy that's in my life that has just been a sounding board. He was the first person I told that I wanted to propose to Alexa. I didn't even tell my mom and dad before I told him. That's how close of a friend he is. And he was like, "What took you so long? What are you waiting for? You're going to let this pretty one get away." And so Bob has been there. He was the best man in my wedding. He came and lived with us for 8.5-9 months and helped me completely get my house live ready. We bought a house that was a fixer-upper, and it was beyond any skill that I had, and he just moved right in. And he slept on a mattress in an apartment that had two bedrooms, and there was eight people in it. No, seven. Seven people in a two-bedroom apartment, and he slept on the floor in front of the TV. That's a friend. And get this, we're still friends. We're still friends. Usually after something like that, I used to have a guy, right? So I'm saying this to let you know that what happens is what ties Bob and I together is the Holy Spirit in our lives. What ties Alexa and I together is the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so the Bible says it this way, and I just did a wedding yesterday. This is a verse that I use all the time when I'm doing weddings, but it talks about a twice bound cord and a three bound cord. And the third part of that is the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what makes relationships of any type, everybody say any type survive. We're not just talking specifically about marriage relationships. Some of you have severed relationships with your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, a neighbor that built a fence where they shouldn't have, or they have a tree that's always dropping stuff in your yard and it just bothers you to no end and you don't know why that won't stop, and or somebody who feels like they have to turn around in your driveway, whatever it might be. None of those things apply to me. They were just coming up at the top of my head. But anyway, the idea of how can a relationship succeed, Scripture tells us very clearly that it's not just two, it's the inviting of the Holy Spirit as well. So we're going to conclude this series this morning quite rapidly. It's 20 after, and we're going to be done with this message this morning by about 11:35, that's how quickly this is going to wrap up. But I want you to see something as we tie this together. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 31 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 31, I read from the English Standard Version on a regular basis. It's not only my favorite version, but it's one that is most closely tied to the Greek and Hebrew text. And so I read from the English Standard Version, Proverbs chapter 31, and verse 10 says this, Proverbs 31, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Later on in chapter 31, starting in verse 28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Notice grammatically the semicolon. Do you see it? So this is what the husband says. That's how that works. Do you see that? There it is. He praises her, and this is what he says. Many women have done excellently, but you, sweetheart, pass them all. I added sweetheart. Do you see that? So it's the children rise up and call her blessed, semicolon. Her husband also, he praises her, colon. I said the wrong word. Many of our teachers are in here going, I hope he fixes that. I'm not going to be able to listen to the rest of his message unless he changes. Colon, verse 29, here's the husband. So I wonder if my husbands could read this with me now. Are you ready, husbands? It's on the screen. Many women have done excellently. Nice. But you surpass them all. And all the wives said, thank you. Or whatever you would say. The idea behind Proverbs 31 is a scriptural definition of the heart of a wife and a mother. And there's many things that are in Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. Verses 1 through 9 are a separate identifier. There's a different thing that's happening in 31, 1 through 9. But then in verse 10, there's this recognition of our wives, or a wife, or that author's particular wife. This is something that you have to see is a requirement within a relationship. Is if I were to break this down into simple points, I would say, when was the last time, husband, you had that conversation with your wife? And you said, there's all kinds of great people on this earth, but you, Alexa, surpass them all. You don't say Alexa, that's inappropriate. Just thought I would. He's like, okay, Alexa. But you surpass them all. What an amazing recognition. Do you see that what we're doing now as husbands, we're recognizing that. There's sections in Proverbs 31 that I'm not deliberately omitting. I'm just omitting for time, that talks about now what her response is to her husband, how she treats him, and what she says, and she is giving accolades back to her husband. She's encouraging her husband. She's building up her children, and then in recognition of all that's going on, the husband then turns and says to her, "You surpass them all." I want you to know something. If this conversation is going on in your family, you are way ahead of the curve. You're way ahead of the curve. Constantly giving support and accolades to your spouse is exactly how a relationship succeeds. And I know for a fact there have been times when Alexa has promoted me and just loved me through something and said, Phil, you're going to be able to get through this. You're going to make it. Now, in the midst of me like sitting in a train wreck, and Alexa has said, the Lord is going to get us through this thing. We're going to survive. We're going to make it. God is going to work through this. And she has been an incredible pastor's wife. Just been amazing to see. She's back there teaching right now. She loves this church and she loves this congregation. I would say almost as much as I would, as much as I do, but many of you would say, no, I think she loves us a little bit more than you do. She's awesome. And I love that about her, because when we got married, the path wasn't paved out. She didn't marry me knowing that I was going to become a full-time senior pastor. There's some people that go into Bible school and they know, hey, this is exactly what I'm doing. This is why I'm here. They find their spouse and they're like, yep, we are missionaries. I came with the purpose of being a missionary. He came with the purpose of being a missionary. We're going to get married and we're going to the mission field. I know lots of couples that that's exactly what they did. They went to be a missionary. They found the spouse going to be a missionary. Off they went. I'm going to be a pastor. This one's saying, I want to support somebody in ministry. Or I'm going to be involved in ministry. I can't wait to be a pastor's wife or whatever. And they get married and off they go. Alexa was like, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. I have no idea. But I know it's going to involve serving the Lord. And I know it's going to be pretty crazy. She's like, okay, I'll think about it. She wasn't like, sign me up, right? So what I'm saying is that through all of that, Alexa was my greatest and still is my greatest cheerleader. And I don't mean cheerleader like, that was just the first word that came to mind. But she was the greatest promoter of who I am and what I do. Listen to what Jesus said. This is Jesus solidifying the concept of a husband and wife. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 6. He's having this amazing conversation. It's about marriage and divorce and all kinds of things are happening. But Jesus just loves to answer questions with Scripture. Isn't that cool about Jesus? They ask him a question and then he just goes right into Scripture. Jesus answers in Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 4. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, verse 5, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 6, so they are no longer two, but become one. Whatever, therefore, God has joined together, let no man separate. Let no man separate. A couple things I'm going to point out to you in this declaration. First thing that Jesus does is he goes back to the beginning. Do you see that? In verse 4, he says, did you not read that he who created them? I love that the foundation of Jesus' argument starts at the very moment of creation. God created them. And so therefore, God created, this is something to grab onto even for a moment. Do you know that God created even the thought processes that go into who we are? We're having this conversation the other day in our house. This is the kind of stuff we talk about around our dinner table. Like, did you know that God created math? It's like, never thought of it that way. Because math is math. Math is perfect. Math is perfect. Math is what it is. It is that you can't change it. It is what it is. It's always going to be what it is. Do you know that God created math? And that's why so many kids fall away from... No, I'm just kidding. But God created math. And so the concept is this: God created the idea of a man and a woman coming together. God created that idea. God created that concept. And so Jesus says, have you not heard, have you not read that in the beginning, from the very start? And so then he says, that means that a man is going to leave his own household and he's going to go start his own. The two shall become one. And that's the important thing. The two become one. In our culture, there is individualization even in marriage relationship. And that's actually anti-scripture. Paul even goes into the detail that we won't get into this morning. I wasn't prepared in reading the scriptures that I was going to have for today. This one got a little bit more into the intimacy of a husband and wife, and I just wasn't ready to just kind of dive into that too much this morning. But Paul, if you want a kind of an overreaching thing, overarching, I guess is a better way to say it, concept that Paul has is that men, your body doesn't belong to you. Women, your body doesn't belong to you. If you are married, you belong to your spouse. That's a hard pill to swallow in 2021, because relationships and the concept of relationships are so broken. The idea is broken. And so therefore, when somebody says, you know, your body is not your own, it belongs to your wife. And you're like, hey, whoa, wait one second. Right? But that's the reality of what's happening, is what that's the idea, is that Paul is underscoring this concept that the two of them now become one. Yesterday in the ceremony, we get to the part of the pronouncement. There's a couple people that were in the wedding yesterday and attended, and I get to this part. It is my favorite part of a wedding. And when I came home, I put their marriage certificate in my file that the minister gets a piece of paper, and you got to hang on to that until Jesus comes back, apparently. I don't know how long I'm supposed to keep these things, but I've got it. I've got it in a file, and I'm going through. I was like, wow, you know, I got Brent and Kelly's certificate. I've got, there's others that I've done that are here, but kids that have gone on, Yeah, I did, Nikki. We were having that conversation. That was a Pastor Phil. We need you to step in for a moment. But Nikki and Eddie's, and there's just different ones. Jesse and Crystal Proper, all people that have been a part of this congregation. And then outside, I was looking through them. It's not an exact number, but from the time that I've been the senior pastor until yesterday, I've done about 24, 25 weddings. And it's been amazing to see that there is this idea when you get to the pronouncement, what happens is that you are no longer pronounced the same way. That's why they call it that. Because for a while it was Philip Taylor and Alexa Hawk. And I'm not talking about just the last name. But now it's Phil and Alexa. I mean, that's just what happens, right? It's Doug and Connie, right? That's what we do. We lump them together, you know, Phil and Alexa. We pronounce it differently. It's not an individual. The two shall become one. And Jesus underscores that. And he says it very clearly. He says, therefore a man shall leave, this is Matthew 19:5, therefore a man shall leave his father, leave his mother, and the two shall become one. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says this: let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love is the love that goes on and on and endures. Faithfulness is being faithful to that commitment that you've made. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is about friendship. This is saying let's be knit together, not only as friends, but understand that the Holy Spirit is a part of that relationship. Listen to how Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all. So now he just said we're going to pray, we're going to get our relationships right with the Lord. But then he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So this is now not talking about the love that comes from Jesus. We are to love each other because our love for one another will help us through those times of offense, those times of struggle, those times of what is going on. I'm about to lose this friendship, or I'm about to lose this relationship. Love covers a multitude of sin. How about that? If we want some tools in our belt to help us through situations. I almost made it. So we're going to end with these three points. Because it's 11:36. I said it'd be done at 11:35. First thing that I see is love is a gift. Love is a gift. While we were still in sin, it says in Romans, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. You've heard me use this verse many times. But in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, those three chapters summarize the love that Jesus Christ has for us. And Paul beautifully outlines his desire for us even while we were sinners. And so who is it that we're supposed to love? And Jesus went into this long talk about how we're supposed to love our neighbor. Well, who is my neighbor? And then he went into one of the most famous parables of all time. The parable of the what we call the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan context is based upon Jesus answering, who is our neighbor? And so what I find is that one, love is a gift. The second thing that I found is that love is actually a superpower. And this is my dude portion of the message, because we're talking about love and a lot of guys are like, check out. But love is actually a superpower. And what I mean by that is that you may have heard this famous quote, maybe if you have kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews that are into superhero movies. There's a quote that came out a number of years ago. Tobey Maguire said it while he was playing the part of Spider-Man. Well, he didn't say it. His uncle did when he was about to die. Isn't that very comforting? But what he says to him, he says, to whom much is given, much is required. Right? With great power, actually, is he says, with great power comes great responsibility. That's what he said. Did you know that's in the Bible? Spider-Man's encouraging words came from Scripture. Imagine that. Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48 are that very thing what's happening is that Jesus is talking about relationships, and in that, he says to them that in this, the summarization of this relationship thing, it literally comes down to you are being blessed by being a follower of Jesus Christ. You have a great gift. And it goes into this parable of a servant who knows that his master has left him responsible for the field. And his master said, I'm going to return at some point. Well, then what happens is the master is long in returning. How many of you even have an idea already of what that parable might be referring to? Right? Is Jesus long in returning? They've been saying we're in the end days since he left. So this parable is referring to those things. And he's saying, well, the servant then, who is left in charge to take care of the other servants that are there, begins to get selfish, and he beats the servants, and he doesn't feed them properly. He's not taking care of them very well. And the summarization that I'm giving you right now is that what happens is when the master returns, he will treat that servant very badly. Jesus says he will beat him. Yay. And what happens is now that servant was given the responsibility of caring for the others around him, knowing that the master would return. And so what Jesus draws that parallel is he was given great information. Jesus is coming back. How many of you know that Jesus is going to return? I don't know when Jesus is going to return, and I'm just as happy about that. Because if I knew when he was going to return, I would get my life right about 8 minutes before he got back. Isn't it, you know? You're the pastor. I know. So that's why I am keeping my, that's the accountability side of it. And Jesus knows that about us. If we knew the day and the hour of his return, come on, church. We are all human. Pinch yourself to prove it. Good, thank you. So love is a superpower because we have information. And that information is God loves us unconditionally, and he has given us the ability to love beyond any circumstance. Love is a gift. Love is a superpower. And finally and thirdly, our ability to love identifies us as Christians. We are to be the most loving and caring people on the planet. Listen to how Jesus said it in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. How did Jesus love us? He loved us unconditionally, but what did he do that demonstrated his love for us? He died on the cross for us. So it says here, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another unconditionally, not expecting anything in return. Our love for each other and our relationships for each other are a covenant, not a contract. Verse 35 says, by this, all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, not by the gospel that you're sharing, not by the way that I care for you, not by anything else. The way that people are going to know that you are my disciples is that you love one another. Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? The way that we can identify this idea that comes down to relationship is our relationships will only succeed in the light of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit at work within our lives. Husbands and wives, when was the last time you shared an encouraging word with your spouse? Those in here who are single, if you have somebody that is a close friend, when was the last time you encouraged them? And you encouraged them even with an encouraging word from Scripture and just said, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I want you to know that I'm believing for God to be just have a success in your life. I'm praying that this situation that you're going through, maybe your friend's parents are going through relational difficulties. Maybe your friend is having a difficult time getting into a college. Maybe your friend is having a difficult time in a personal relationship. They need somebody around them that's going to love them and encourage them. When was the last time you shared an encouraging word with them? Relationships only succeed in the light of who we are in Jesus Christ. As believers, we will actually be able to be identified as Christians, as his disciples, as his followers, by the way that we love one another. That's it. So this morning, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask Brenda if she would come and just play on the piano for a moment. No, I can't. She's not in here. I guess I'm going to have to do it. That's okay. We're okay? Okay, we're good. So I'm not going to do it. I don't want to. I want to play piano. I want to talk. So let's just pray together. Right now, in your circumstance, in your situation, can you recognize in your situation that love is a gift? Can you recognize in your situation that love is a superpower? And that our ability to love identifies us as Christians. This morning, that's you. That's the word for you. That's how I really believe that God wanted me to kind of tie this series together, is to recognize that the template for love has already been given to us. The template for love has already been given to you. Do you have a broken and severed relationship? You can still love that person through the circumstance. You can still be an encouragement. You can change some of the things, maybe some of the aspect of who you are in that relationship. A lot of times, this doesn't necessarily mean that magically and wonderfully relationships get back together. Maybe you just begin to treat each other in a civil way. Maybe that happens. But the first step is recognizing who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the first step. The first step is saying, I want to receive that love that Jesus has for me. So, Father, I come before you right now as we conclude this time. There's so many directions in relationship that we could go in. But, Father, what we need to recognize most is that the only way a relationship can be successful is that if you are at the very core of that relationship. Father, for our young adults in here that have so many varying relationships in their life, I pray that you are the center of those friendships, that you are at the center for them, Lord. I pray encouragement over them. They'd be able to navigate the waters. Father, for our families here that the couples that have been married for 10, 12, 13 years, they got young children, the busyness of life is kicking in full tilt. Many of them have dual job, dual careers. Father, I pray that their relationship would be strengthened in the name of Jesus. Father, for our stay-at-home moms who are homeschooling and working with their kids day in and day out, I pray, Lord God, that they would see the value and the purpose of who they are and how they are just instilling your very love and your very life into their children. Father, for the husband and wife that are now either at the point of being empty nesters or their kids are getting older and now they're looking at each other and they're saying, who are you? I haven't even seen you in like 15 years. Father, I pray that you would just reignite those relationships. And just like in Revelation, that you would stir up and kindle that first love that they had for each other. So many marriages end when the kids leave the house. God, we just pray over our marriages that are 18, 20, 24, 25 years down the road. Father, many of them are experiencing being together again for the very first time. God, help them to love each other. Father, for those who are grandparents, that they're now, the kids come in and the grandkids and their the lives are just being able to see the fruit of their families and what's going on. Father, I pray that they would still have a passion and a desire to pour in to their kid, the grandkids' lives. Help them to be that voice and that word and that voice of wisdom from years of life. Guide them and direct them. Lord, for those who are here this morning and their spouse has gone on to be with you, God, I just pray for encouragement over them. Strengthen their heart. Help them to have a new and renewed relationship with you. God, I pray that there would be people within their lives that they would be able to channel their love and their attention and their friendships with. Father, I thank you for those men and women that have just served you decade after decade and have seen what it means to have you in the center of their lives. May we all learn from their example. We thank you and praise you. Lord, as we move on from this series, I pray that it would always be something that's in the back of our mind. How can I promote my spouse? How can I promote my children, my grandchildren, my nieces and nephews? God, how can I lift them up to you? How can I build godly friendships and relationships? And we thank you for that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be dismissing you in just a moment. The children are going to be coming back into the sanctuary and